for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2019 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, November the 29th, 2019, Jerry McGee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on double-minded.
Thank you, Lord.
I have a word I've got to read, brother.
Okay.
I don't speak unless the Spirit of the Lord tells me to speak, and I'm saying, Lord, do I have an interpretation? He's got a word from the Word. And he gave me Isaiah 28, and he said, he wanted me to read from 9 all the way down to 12. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and other tongues will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherein you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Many people don't understand the move of the Spirit. But this is precious. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I don't step up here. I don't like to be seen. But I want to be obedient to the Lord. God has a plan. He has a purpose in each one of your lives. As the pastor said, you're not here by accident. He wants to deal with your hearts. He wants to tear the walls down. The walls of your heart that you've kept. You've kept the walls of the heart. As Jeremiah says, for break up thy fallow ground. Circumcise your heart. So none of my thorns. He wants to give you a new spirit and a new heart so that you can walk in His ways.
Jerry's going to come to give us word for our soul.
Amen.
Cleansing.
Let it be a word from your throne, Lord.
Yes.
Pray with me. Create in me, O God.
Create in me, O God.
A clean heart.
Clean heart.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
Cast me not away from your presence.
Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Sustain me with a willing heart. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways. And sinners will be converted. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it was either I didn't take time to read the scripture, but it was either the disciples came and wanted to see Jesus or some men came, which it was. But it's in John 12, 21, 22, something like that. And Jesus said, basically, if you want to see him and you want others to see Jesus in you, he said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And he was comparing that to us. Our flesh has to die in order for life to spring forth. And basically, that's the only thing that God accepts. And that is the Christian life. And very few people walk there. I want to walk there every day. I haven't walked there, but God's given me a greater revelation of it since I've gone through the things I've gone through since Labor Day camp. I woke up and both of my eyes, I couldn't see out of either one of my eyes. It was like a TV set with snow on it. And my right eye came back. My left eye, I still can't see out of it. But praise God, it's well with my soul. I thank God I was yielded to God when this happened. I'm more yielded today. in Jesus' name. But if we want others to see Jesus in us, we have to die. That means we have to live the crucified life. The scripture says, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. That means you choose his way over your way, his attitudes over your attitudes, his plans over your plan, and his word over your word. And he doesn't, we've been taught in the church that you pray a prayer and you get your ticket punched and you walk a church aisle and you get baptized. Did you know that probably 90% of church members are not even saved?
Amen.
How many people do you know that are willing to walk the narrow way?
Amen.
Not many. And I tell you, I don't understand all of it, but I'm headed that direction. I want to go higher with God. I don't want to go lower. I want to go higher. Anyway, the message I feel like the Lord wanted me to share is on the double-mindedness. Before I share that, though, how many of you are overcome instead of being an overcomer? Amen. You know, the promises of God are to the overcomer, not to the overcome. If you didn't have a problem, you wouldn't have nothing to overcome, would you?
Amen.
Right? And the promises of God, that includes salvation, it includes overcoming. And we have to overcome double-mindedness. With whatever's going on in your life, you have to overcome it. In other words, every fear has to leave.
Yes.
Everything that depresses you has to go. Everything that hurts you has to go. Everything that makes you mad has to go. And your double-mindedness has to go. A double-minded person is a compromiser. And let me tell you, in the world you're living in, if you're a compromiser, you'll be killed. But if you walk God's way and walk in the Spirit, which means crucify your life, that's how you walk in the Spirit, is to live the crucified life.
Amen.
The Bible says if your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. And so if your enemies are not at peace with you, God's not pleased about something. So you need to ask him what he's not pleased about. If I can get this computer working, it jammed up earlier. Jesus didn't have to have an iPad, but praise God. At this point in my life, I'm not able to read a paper Bible. Well, it turned off. Okay, there it is. Anyway, a double-minded person has two minds and two distinct personalities and can have more. Double-minded means to have two souls, two minds, or two personalities. And you can have many more, like in person that's dissociative identity disorder or multiple personalities, what they used to call it. Now they call it dissociative identity disorder, and they might have come up with a new one since God showed me that. And so one personality is compliant toward the things of the Lord, and we're talking about a so-called believer. And basically he's compliant because he fears rejection. He really doesn't have any true convictions of his own. The Bible calls in Proverbs, it talks about a simple-minded person, which means to be simple, silly, and easily seduced. In other words, a person that's simple, silly, and easily seduced will just go with whatever wind of doctrine. If he's trying to please somebody, he's got a man-pleasing spirit, he'll go that direction. And then the other personality is anti-Christ, which is rooted in rebellion. And so, in fact, any personality that's not, the mind of Christ is anti-Christ.
Amen.
I've seen people that are real compliant one minute, and the next minute the demons, other personalities roaring through them. They don't believe the word. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe anything, but yet they prayed a prayer to get saved. The world calls this condition schizophrenia. Sometimes referred to as a split personality or distorted or disintegrated personality. But the Word of God calls it double-mindedness.
Or having two souls or two personalities. James 1:8 in the Amplified says, for being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. And you can switch him around. Schizophrenia, definition, is a group of psychotic disorders usually characterized by withdrawal from reality. And so you can have more personalities when you withdraw from reality. For example, your life can be so hellish that you go into a false refuge of maybe going into a happy personality, a happy disposition. It's basically you go into denial. And so you'll create personalities to cope with every situation. And all of those personalities are false gods, idolatry. There's only one personality we're supposed to have, and it's the mind of Christ.
Amen.
So we withdraw from reality, and to cope with life situations, we don't deal with things the way God wants us to. And so if it's in relationships, and rather than go and take that relationship to God and get it healed, what we do is we sweep it under the rug. We push it out of our mind. I don't give a dang or whatever. You see what I'm saying? And that's not a way that God wants us to deal with things. He wants everything to be out on the table, us take it before His throne of grace, find out what He's trying to teach us, and then deal with it. But most people don't do that. And so what happens is they get more bitter, more sick, whatever. I don't know if you realize it, but sin is behind sickness. And even with eye problems I have, I've been seeking the Lord for any answers to why I have this problem. But like I said, it's well with my soul. I normally don't go to doctors, but I went to an eye doctor after that to see if what got disconnected. And she said there was a blockage to the blood vessel in my eye. And then she recommended something else, and I told her, no, I was just going to trust the Lord. And then she spoke a curse on me. Well, you better do this or blah, blah, blah. But I just want to tell you that, you know, when you've been teaching that Jesus is the answer for 37 or 40 years, and all of a sudden you have a problem and you're under the world, I've got too many people watching me, especially my family. I want to set an example for my family. You don't think your family notices, but my granddaughter, who hasn't talked to me a lot in the past years, texted me and said, I can't imagine what you're going through, but I want you to know you're working through it with God and you're being an example. I thought she noticed. And that really encouraged me, because I think if she's watching me, I want to do the more excellent way. I don't want to go the world's way. And I can honestly tell you this, I'd rather die tomorrow than go out of here any other way than trust in Jesus.
Amen.
And I mean that with all my heart.
Amen.
So I don't know how long I have, but anyway, I'm living every day. When I go out of here, I'm going to be full of the Word of God. I realize lately that I maybe can't read the Word, and for a long time that's discouraged me, because I love being able to read a paper Bible. But I realize lately I can listen online, and I listen to the Word of God all the time. And so however long I have, I want to be here, going out of here with a blaze of glory. Amen? Bless the Lord. So I can tell you, it's well with my soul. The first 3 weeks was the hardest 3 weeks of my life, because I woke up one morning at 1:30 in the morning, and I thought, my life's over. And then I went right to sleep, woke up the next morning, and the Lord said, your plans are over. From now on, my plans will be your plans.
Amen.
Praise God. And so also schizophrenia. Definition means illogical patterns of thinking. It means delusions, hallucinations, accompanied in varying degrees by other emotional, behavioral, and intellectual disturbances. It's a condition that results from rejecting the Word of God and not having the mind of God concerning your life and how your life goes. It's rejecting what God's Word says. It means to have two minds. The phrase translated two minds comes from a compound Greek word literally meaning having two souls. The opposite of having the mind of Christ is to have a double-minded schizophrenic personality. Let me tell you, the only way you have the mind of Christ is to die.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And you know, if you feel like a loser, you feel like a failure, you feel like you've been no good, you've wasted your life, you feel like you're not accomplished, that you're not able to do whatever, all you have to do is die, because whatever you're lacking, Jesus comes through with the resurrected life of Jesus.
Amen.
And you can't be a failure.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So the opposite of having the mind of Christ is being a double-minded person. or having a schizophrenia personality. Double-minded and
schizophrenia parents have double-minded schizophrenia children.
And it begins with rejection of God's word and not having
God's mind in life's experiences. And most of us grew up in homes not ruled by Christ. Most of us, you know, I had good parents. Probably, I had great parents. They set a good example for me in so many areas, but our home wasn't ruled by Christ. My parents were good people. They were honest. They paid their bills. They didn't drink, smoke, and chew. Well, Daddy did smoke. But I'm saying the home wasn't ruled by the mind of Christ, and most of your homes weren't either.
And so 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
If our life is not ruled by Christ or our home's not ruled by Christ, that's rebellion and that's witchcraft.
The double-minded schizophrenia personality looks something like this, and I'm going to let Deborah illustrate it, because since I've just had one, I tried to do this the other day and I got it all over the place. So first of all, I want you to see that you're a spirit. Oh, right here. You're a spirit and you live in a body, and then you have a soul. Draw that. Okay. And then because of the sins, let me do this. Hold that now. Because of the sins that you've committed, generational sins, the sins of your forefathers, because of the sins you've committed, stay on the line and do these for me. Because of letting the sun go down on your anger, because of unforgiveness, bitterness, causes breaches in your soul. And this is what you have to overcome, the soul realm. This is where you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In all these areas, if I didn't go to God in my sin or my pain, I turned to a false god. Is that right? If you don't turn to God. So in all these areas, there's false gods. And so in all these areas, there's soul ties. And God doesn't show you everything at once. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He uses the problem to show you what he wants to heal next. And so in all these areas, you have you know, it says that I pray that your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless. In all these areas, you've joined yourself with a harlot in those areas. We join ourselves with Christ and we're one with him. But wherever you've joined yourself with an idol, you've joined yourself with a harlot. And so God uses these things to show you, if you don't deal with it, eventually it'll work out in your body in physical sickness. If you don't deal with the breach. This is the area that has to get saved. Okay, now illustrate a double-minded person. Did you do it right in the center? No. A double-minded... all right, let's rephrase that. Sorry. You're doing good. That's fine. But a double-minded person has got two souls here. And a person that's multiple, you know, like satanic ritual abuse or being scattered because of the trauma in your life or because of molestation or whatever, even music, even movies, what happens is, go ahead and just do a bunch of through. A person can have many, many personalities, and it looks like that's good. That's all. That I just hated to get this out just for a little bit, but it's easy to show you. But a person that's multiple personalities, a girl that had many, many hundreds of personalities, I told her one day, I said, you're like a kaleidoscope. One tilt and you get another picture. That's where someone extreme multiple personalities. For example, one day I baked her a chocolate cake and she said, I don't like chocolate cake. I said, well, I thought you told me you liked chocolate cake. She said, no, I like lemon. So then I made her a lemon cake. The next time she said, I don't like lemon cake. I like strawberry. See, every personality was different. And like one tilt, you get another picture. And when a person's on channel 4, they don't know what they did on channel 5. So if you're a person where you have time lapses, now all of us can be forgetful. I'm not talking about forgetfulness. But I'm talking if you have times where there's lapses of time where you don't remember what happened to you, you're more than likely multiple personality.
It can come down through generational iniquities of the forefathers, through slavery, through trauma, through masons, through occult, through worship of the devil. And it can come down that way. So you can pretty much know a person that's multiple. Like, for example, if they're on Channel 3, they don't remember what they did on Channel 4. Or if they're on Channel 6, they don't remember what they did on Channel 1. And every personality is different. And basically, all of these places... It's gone. No problem. All of those places, like for in satanic ritual abuse, for example, how they get the personality, they'll be tortured in a ritual, for example, and a demon will appear to them and say, if you let me use your body, you won't feel the pain. So they invite the demon in. So in all those areas, they're altars. Psychology says they're altars to false gods. They're really altars to demons. Because if I don't turn to God in my pain, I turn to a demon, I've made an altar to a false god. Is that right? So I have to turn to God. So, okay, this came out here. And so we have to have the breaches of our heart healed. You know, a person that's a multiple personality, they've got to get the trauma and stuff healed before they get to the normal stuff. You and I that have not been mutually abused, we've got the normal breaches where we've let the sun go down on their anger. Every time you let the sun go down on your anger, you've made a breach into your person, and your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. And that's the part that we have to work out our salvation in. And it can work in most of us in varying degrees because most of us didn't grow up under the rule of Christ. We grew up with mother's mind, daddy's mind, grandpa's mind, grandma's mind, Uncle Bobo, is that what she calls him? Brenda calls him a Bobo. We grew up with his mind, Uncle So-and-so's mind, the mind of whoever molested us. We grew up with the mind of babysitters. We grew up with the mind of whoever raised us, step-parents, step-fathers, step-mothers. We grew up with their minds. And so in varying degrees, all of us in varying degrees, it can say this is applied to all of us in varying degrees. And the Bible has much to say about double-mindedness. It says the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It says that he is unbelieving and like a ship driven of the wind and tossed by the sea. It says he'll receive nothing from God. And I tell you that nothing means nothing. James 1:8 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, generously, and without reproach. And it will be even to him, but be given to him. But let him ask with faith, without any doubting. For one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he'll receive anything from God, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. The next thing about a double-minded person, he's lukewarm. And God says, I would that you were hot or cold, because if you're just lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And someone said that word, spit you out of the mouth, in Greek means spit you out of his mouth. But that doesn't sound like salvation, does it? You know what? When your life is crucified, you can't be lukewarm. But being double-minded is like the children of Israel. They couldn't decide if Jehovah was God or Baal was God. And they halted between two opinions. So he's lukewarm. Revelation 3:15 says, I know your deeds, that they're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were hot or cold. So because you're lukewarm and not neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Another thing about a double-minded person, he's ever learning and never comes to the knowledge of the truth. He sits in church, attends meetings, attends seminars for years and years and years, and never gets it. Never gets a hold of it. It says in 2 Timothy 3:5, holding to a form of godliness. In other words, he just has a religious spirit, and this is where most church members are. And though they have denied its power... I used to think denying its power meant denying signs and wonders and miracles, but it means denying the power inherent to godly living. It means denying repentance.
And although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these and women, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Are you that person? Do you sit and listen, but never get it? God help us. And Lord, I pray that you move upon every person with your mighty Holy Spirit. Lord, you said that we'll receive power after which your Holy Spirit comes upon us. And we will be witnesses. He's deluded, and because he doesn't have a love of the truth, God sends a strong delusion so that he cannot believe and be saved. And that's in 2 Thessalonians 2:11. It says, "For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might not so they might believe what is false,
so that they cannot be saved." So if you don't have a love of the truth, you've got a big problem. And you know what? You can't drum it up. God has to give it to you. And all you have to do is ask him, and he'll give you a love of the truth. Amen? It's dangerous. We're living in dangerous times. There's doctrines of demons. There's things going on in the church. The church in America is so sick and pitiful. No word, no repentance, no truth, smoke and lights, and just a bunch of stuff.
A person that's double-minded, he halts between two opinions. 1 Kings 18:21 says, "And Elijah drew near to all the people and said, 'How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If it's Baal, follow him.' But the people answered not a word." The dilemma for national Israel was that they couldn't decide who was God. Was it Jehovah God or was it Baal that was God? And that's the dilemma that a lot of people today in the church have. Elijah was frustrated with them because they were people that called themselves God's people, but yet they were double-minded. And they were torn between two opinions. And there are those of you who are sitting here listening to me right now. You can't decide if you want the pleasures and the things that the world can give you or being totally committed to the Lord Jesus Christ as King, Lord, and Master. And because of that, you won't fully submit your life to God. And let me tell you something. You can pray a prayer all day long, but without surrender, full surrender, 100% surrender, you're not getting there.
Amen.
Because Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all in your life.
Amen.
And he has to be Lord.
That's right.
A person that's double-minded will fall away from the faith. It says in 1 Timothy 4:1, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times
some will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits." Are we in latter times?
Amen.
We are. And so we fall away from the faith, giving heed, listening to deceiving spirits. Some of you hear voices talking to you, and you think it's people talking to you, but they're demons talking to you. And they're guiding your life, directing your life, keeping you running here and there, and keeping you living in fear and panic, and trying to work it out yourself. And let me tell you something, God's waiting for you to let him work it out. Another thing about a double-minded man is that he fears man more than he fears God. And that's why he caves in to every little wind of doctrine, because he wants people to accept him.
The scripture says he receives a snare from himself. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted." I feel like the Lord's wanting me to do a message on his refuge. His dwelling place. It's not a place. You know, it says in Psalms 91, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty." It's not a place that we should just visit. Most of us just visit there. God wants us to live and abide there.
Yes.
And that's the safe place. That's the only safe place you have. If you and your children will stay in the secret place, and we'll stay in the secret place, we don't have to worry about anything hurting us or bothering us. But to be in the secret place, you have to continue crucifying your life. Continue dying to yourself. A person that's double-minded is operating with two kingdoms, with two kings,
And I'm going to ask Deborah to read. You want to come over here with the microphone, Deborah? I'm going to ask her to read Ezekiel 37. Too much reading for me today.
Amen.
What a mighty woman of God. I love you.
Ezekiel gets a vision of a valley of dead dry bones. And God says that these dead bones are the whole house of Israel. They're a picture of the church that's dead, lifeless, no breath in them. Okay.
Ezekiel 37 and 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me,
if you've got bone problems, this is probably the reason.
Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them.
So that could be a root to lung problem, breathing problems. Okay.
Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off.
You feel that way? You feel like your hope's cut off and hope has perished?
Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life. And I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, and you, son of man, take for yourself one stick and write on it. For Judah, for the sons of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write on it. For Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel.
And I think that means that he's taken the double-mindedness to make them one instead of two.
His companion. Then join them for yourself, one to another, into one stick, that they may become one in your hand. When the sons of your people speak to you, saying, will you not declare to us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. The sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone.
Worldliness.
And I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king for all of them.
You see, a double-minded person has two kings. So this, he says, God says, I'm going to make them have one king with one kingdom.
And they will no longer be two nations, no longer be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols, or with their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all.
And you see their problem with idolatry, having other gods. Okay.
Their dwelling place, in which they have sinned.
See, there's only one dwelling place, and that's the dwelling of Christ. They had many dwelling places, like many, many refuges. Okay.
And will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be king over them.
That's the type of Christ. Okay.
And they will all have one shepherd.
One shepherd instead of two.
And they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. They will live on the land that I gave to Jacob my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it. They and their sons, and their sons' sons forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them.
See, if you're not living in peace, you're not in that covenant of peace. I asked the girl that committed Satanism, I said, do you feel peace now? She said, what is that? She didn't even know what peace was. She never experienced it, okay?
It will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in their midst.
So means his presence. He's going to break down his presence, okay?
My dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever.
So God wants to bring down his sanctuary over them, but as long as we have idols, as long as we're double-minded, he can't do that. He won't do it because he said, you've got no other gods before me in a minute. And so, two kingdoms, two kings, many dwelling places, idolatry. You know, we might not worship Baal, or think we do, or Diana, or what are some false gods? Molech. Yeah, we may not worship them, but our false gods is you've got to love me. Wherever you get your button pushed, whatever makes you angry, whatever makes you fearful, there's a false god behind it. If you have an idol, you fear you won't get it, and if you have it, you fear you'll lose it. And if you don't get it, you get angry when you don't get it. If your idol is, I've got to find somebody to love me. And when they don't love me, I get hurt, and I get mad, and I get angry. It's all idolatry. And see, God doesn't deliver us from everything at once, but he wants to bring us to the place where nothing rains on our parade. We don't live in fear. We walk in peace. We're not angry people.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.